Welcome to this week's Real AI Podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of February 23rd, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
You know that feeling when you finally clear your inbox? That fleeting moment of... I am on top of everything.
Oh, yeah. It lasts about, what, 30 seconds?
Exactly. Because then you realize you have to actually do the work.
Yep.
You know, you have to write the replies, draft the strategy, create the content. And for the last few years, I mean, the default move has been to just open an AI tool type, a lazy prompt, like write a blog post about real estate and let the machine spit out a mediocre first draft.
Right. Speed was the drug. It was the magic button era. We were all just hitting the button and marveling that words came out at all.
But here is the reality check we are facing today. And it is a cold bucket of water. When everyone has a magic button, magic becomes a commodity.
It really does. Speed is free now.
Right. It's the baseline. So the question we are obsessing over is simple. In a world where AI generates infinite average content instantly, how do you actually stand out?
And the answer isn't more AI. It is refinement.
Spot on. To help us unpack this, we are diving into a stack of insights from the Real AI newsletter, specifically Volume 4, Issue 8 from February 23, 2026. And look, I know what you were thinking. Another AI newsletter. My inbox is already exploding.
I get that fatigue. Believe me, I do. But this one is genuinely different. It is widely considered the industry standard for real estate tech, written by Kevin Hawkins and his son, Corey Hawkins.
And Kevin isn't just a pundit. He is the guy who wrote the Real AI Guide for Real Estate Agents. I mean, he has been in the trenches since the early days.
He has. He's an educator and a coach. And what makes this specific issue so fascinating is that it marks a clear pivot point. We are moving from the blabbermouth phase of AI, where it just talks at you, to the agentic phase, where it actually does things for you.
Yeah.
Plus, Kevin offers a very specific tactical framework for using AI as an editor that honestly changed how I write my emails this week.
Same here. I used it this morning. So our mission today is pretty cool. We will look at why ChatGPT has an 80% monopoly in 2026, which is just a wild number. Staggering, really.
And we are going to give you the exact prompt strategy to turn your AI into a ruthless copy editor.
Let's get right into it.
I want to start with the concept of the second set of eyes. Kevin has this feature article titled AI as Your Proofreader. And I have to be honest, my initial reaction was pure skepticism.
Really? Why?
Well, I have used Spellcheck since Word 95, right? I have Grammarly installed. Do I really need to paste my emails into ChatGPT to check for commas?
If you are just checking for commas, no. Stick with Grammarly. Kevin actually makes that distinction very clearly. He has used Grammarly Pro. That tool is your safety net. It catches the objective errors, you know, typos, missing punctuation.
It's stuff that makes you look sloppy.
Exactly, the embarrassing stuff. But what Kevin is talking about with ChatGPT 5.2, which is the model we are seeing dominate in early 2026, is totally different. It is not a copy editor. It is a developmental editor.
Right.
It is looking for style. It is looking for flow.
Define that for us, because style spells like a deeply human thing. Can a machine actually understand style? Surprisingly, yes. In this newsletter, Kevin argues that ChatGPT 5.2 has become a Swiss Army knife for refinement. It's looking for things like soft openings.
Soft openings? Is that like, I hope this email finds you well?
Precisely. It is the throat clearing we do before we actually get to the point. It also flags passive voice, which makes you sound unsure of yourself. But my favorite, and the one that hurt my feelings a little bit, is that it scans for bloated sentences.
Ouch, I feel seen. Bloated sentences.
We all do it. We all write sentences that are 30% longer than they need to be because we are thinking while we type. Kevin's point is that clear writing builds trust.
Tight writing signals competence. That is a bumper sticker right there.
It really is. Think about it. When you get an email that rambles, you don't think, wow, this person is thorough. You think this person is disorganized.
Or this person doesn't value my time.
Exactly. But here's the problem I always run into, and I bet you run into it too. I paste my bloated email into an AI, ask it to fix it, and it comes back sounding like a corporate press release.
Yes, it strips out all the flavor.
It lobotomizes my voice completely.
That is the number one complaint. You trade clarity for personality. And that is exactly where the secret sauce comes in. Kevin shares a very specific prompt architecture in this issue that solves the lobotomy problem.
It is brilliant in its simplicity, honestly.
I have it highlighted right here. And look, if you are multitasking right now, Come back to us for 30 seconds because this is the takeaway.
Go ahead, read it.
It's a constraint prompt. You paste your draft and you command proofread only. Do not rewrite. Tighten where needed. Keep it in my voice.
It is the do not rewrite part that feels so counterintuitive.
Yeah.
You are asking it to fix it, but telling it not to rewrite it.
Exactly. You are forcing the model to act as a surgeon, not a demolition crew. You are saying, keep the structure, keep the tone, just trim the fat.
That is such a subtle but important distinction. You aren't asking for a remix, you are asking for a remaster.
Perfect analogy. And there is a second half to this prompt that I think is even more important, especially for the control freaks among us.
The transparency prompt.
Yes. You follow up with, show me exactly what you changed.
Now, why does that matter? Why not just take the fixed version and hit send?
Because you can't trust the black box. If you just copy-paste the result, you risk sending something that implies a promise you didn't make or uses a word you would never, ever say.
Right.
By asking it to list the changes you get in audit trail, it tells you I changed utilize to use. I removed the first sentence.
It turns the AI into a collaborator rather than a ghostwriter.
Precisely. You remain the editor-in-chief. The AI is just the junior editor with a red pen. And think about the application here. Kevin is writing for real estate agents, right? Listing descriptions, seller updates, CMA summaries. These are high-stakes documents.
If you bury the lead in a listing description, the buyer just scrolls past. If you sound unsure in a negotiation email, you lose money.
Right. But even if you aren't in real estate, if you are pitching a project to your boss or writing a delicate email to a client, this method applies. Refinement is the new leverage. It is how you signal that you are a professional in a world of amateurs relying on generate buttons.
Okay, so that is the micro level. That is how we handle our Tuesday morning emails. But I want to zoom out to the macro because the data landscape in 2026 is looking, well, monolithic.
It is staggering. We really need to talk about the scale of this.
Let's look at the elephant in the room. According to data report AI cited in the newsletter, ChatGPT now holds an 80% market share of the global AI chatbot market.
80%. Just let that sink in for a second.
That is not a market leader. That is a utility. That is Kleenex. That is Google.
It really is. And we have to talk about what that dominance means. It means the interface has standardized. People aren't learning AI anymore. They are learning ChatGPT. It explains why ChatGPT has basically become the generic term for the technology.
And the corporate adoption backs that up entirely. There's a stat here from Elementor. 78% of global companies rely on AI chatbots for at least one business process.
That is nearly 4 out of 5 companies. It is everywhere.
But here is the friction point. We have 80% market dominance. Mm-hmm. We have massive corporate adoption. But are we actually happy with it?
Mm-hmm.
Because the newsletter cites Tidio reporting that 50% of businesses expect these bots to provide fast, round-the-clock responses.
Right. The instant gratification window is now permanently open. Consumers have been trained to expect immediacy.
Yeah.
If I ask a question at 2 a.m., I want an answer at 2.01 a.m.
But there is a fascinating stat from the Harvard Business Review that throws cold water on this whole AI utopia.
I love the stat because it is so validating for anyone who has ever tried to roll out new software in an office.
Lay it on me.
They found that 93% of executives say the main challenge to adoption isn't the technology. It is not the cost. It is not the compute power.
What is it then?
It is us. Human issues, culture, change management, fear.
That makes so much sense.
Yeah.
You can buy the fanciest enterprise license for ChatGPT 5.2, but if your middle managers are terrified, it's going to take their jobs. They aren't going to use it effectively.
Or they will use it to generate mediocrity rather than using it to refine excellence like we just talked about. The bottleneck isn't the silicon anymore. It is the carbon. It is the mindset.
So we have a tool that works perfectly fine, but a workforce that is struggling to integrate it culturally. That feels like a dangerous gap.
It is. It creates a massive divide. And that leads perfectly into the headlines section of the newsletter, because the vibe in the industry isn't just rah-rah AI anymore. It is getting serious.
Corey Hawkins curated these, and one headline from Real Estate News jumped out at me immediately. Residential real estate's AI honeymoon is over.
Boom. That is a heavy headline.
It sounds ominous. Is the bubble bursting? Are we done with AI?
No, I don't think it is bursting. I think it is maturing. Think about a real relationship. The honeymoon is fun. It is exciting. You ignore the flaws.
Right.
Then you move in together and you have to argue about whose turn it is to do the dishes.
And in this metaphor, the dishes are what? Liability.
Liability. Disclosure. Consumer protection. The industry is waking up to the risks. If an AI agent hallucinates a feature in a house that doesn't exist, who gets sued? The agent. The broker. or OpenAI.
And as an agent, you can't just shrug and say, hey, the robot did it.
Exactly. That excuse will not hold up in court. So the honeymoon is over really means the accountability era has begun. The newsletter points out that the industry is tackling tough questions about trust. We have to talk about the tech itself shifting, because there is one specific news item in this newsletter that feels like a history book moment.
You are looking at the VentureBeat headline from February 17th.
OpenAI's acquisition of OpenClaw signals the beginning of the end of the ChatGPT era.
Hold on. We just said they have 80% market share. How could it be the end of the era?
That is exactly what I wanted to ask you. It sounds completely contradictory.
It sounds dramatic, but it is accurate. Mm. It is not about the company dying. It is about the paradigm dying. Mm. The ChatGPT era was defined by generative AI. You ask a question, it gives an answer. You ask for a poem, it writes a poem, it generates text.
Right. It says things.
The acquisition of OpenClaw and the launch of tools like Gemini 3.1 Pro signals the move to agentic AI. This is AI that does things.
Break that down for the listener who hasn't heard agentic before. What is the actual difference between a generator and an agent?
Okay, let's use the travel example. Imagine you want to book a flight for a business trip. Generative AI says, here's a list of flights you could take and a draft of an email you could send to your travel agent. It gives you information.
Okay. Useful, but I still have to do the actual work.
Exactly. Agentic AI says, I accessed your calendar, found the open slot, booked the Delta flight, charged it to your company card, and added the confirmation to your wallet.
Whoa, that is a massive leap in trust.
Massive. It is executing code. It is interacting with other APIs. It is not just predicting the next word. It is predicting the next action.
And we are seeing this across the board. The newsletter mentions Google's Gemini 3.1 Pro is touting core reasoning.
Reasoning is the key word there. To book that flight, the AI has to reason. If the meeting ends at 4.00, he can't make a 4.3U flight. I need to look for 6.00 p.m. or later. That logic chain is hard for old models. The new models are getting surprisingly good at it.
We are even seeing Zillow integrate this. Inman reported they are using Notebook LM, which is Google's tool to bring home buying guidance directly into AI search. And the Motley Fool says AI is identifying investment opportunities and creating 3D tours.
It is getting deeply integrated into the decision-making process, not just the creative process. It is moving from the marketing department to the operations department.
Search engine land spotted something annoying in the newsletter.
The ads.
ChatGPT ads spotted, and they are quite aggressive.
Yes. Appearing after single prompts.
So I ask for a recipe, and boom, an ad for a blender.
Essentially. Or you ask about real estate trends in Austin, and boom, an ad for a specific brokerage. This was inevitable, really. OpenAI is a business. But it reminds us that even as these tools become agents that work for us, they ultimately work for the shareholder.
That's a sobering thought, Miles, that AI actually works for the shareholders. And it reminds us that the more things change, the more things remain the same. And that's this week's Real AI Podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy. And until next week, keep it real.